Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast, presented by Apidura, Albion, Curve, Peak Design, POC, Ride with GPS, and Supernova. I'm Jenny Tuff, and I'll be your host for the Transcontinental Race number 11. While our riders are now all making their way to Santiago de Compostela, making any last-minute adjustments, and hopefully getting some fuel and rest before they set off on Sunday, on this episode, we have a preview of the race for all the Dot Watchers. First, we'll hear from our race coordinators on the route and challenges ahead, as well as who will be racing and efforts to encourage new participants to the start line. Then I've sat down with a few riders to hear about their road to the TCR. So clip in and join me for TCR number 11.
I'm Andrew Phillips. I'm race director for TCR number 11. During the race, you'll find me in a control car out on the road, making sure that the race goes off safely and helping our teams cover it, getting as much insight from the race as possible for everyone spectating. That's photography, podcast, race report. We have a load of really talented individuals working with us. We're going to have a couple of those in each car. We're going to have photographers at control points. So running that whole team and making sure that we're covering the race so that you can all spectate. So the race this year is starting in Western Spain in Santiago de Compostela, famous as being the start or end point of the Camino de Santiago pilgrimage route that's existed for centuries across Europe. And there's obviously a lot of resonance with our riders who are going to be starting off on their own pilgrimage across Europe, collecting stamps along the way. And as they start in Compostela, they head west out all the way to the Atlantic coast, out towards a place called Fisterra, which was named by the Romans for being the end of the earth, as far as they were concerned, the world's end. And it's almost the most westerly point in Europe. And when the riders reach the lighthouse, they're going to turn around, and from then on, they'll be cycling east all the way across Europe to Romania, where they finish. So the first control point after the start parkour ends in Fisterra is in the Picos de Europa. It's a beautiful mountain range in northern Spain on the Bay of Biscay. So riders will be taking a route either along the Galician coastline or slightly inland to our first control point, then on to our first bit of parkour, the two of which are actually slightly split. So riders are immediately having to make their first route choices as to whether they go over a short off-road stretch or whether they go around on tarmac. And seeing which of those is faster, it's going to be really interesting for us all as Dot Watchers. From there, it's heading on towards the Pyrenees. Our next bit of parkour starts just the other side of the Col de Portalet in France. From Portalet, the parkour carries on towards the Tourmalet. So riders go over Col de Obis, Col de Salor, and then up Tourmalet and finish down the other side of it in Sainte-Marie-Campan, which is where our control point number two is. So by that point, riders are going to be somewhere over 1,000 kilometers into the race, and it's really only just getting going. From then on, it's across France, and again, lots of different routes across France, but probably most riders touching the Mediterranean coastline before heading into the Alps and towards the Strada dell'Assier. So that's going to be a real highlight for riders, I'm sure, before they drop down into Susa, where third control point is, and then continue on through Italy. And it's going to be the first time that the race has ever decided to turn south through Italy, through the Apennines. And then they're heading towards Siena, where our next bit of parkour starts, our fourth parkour. From there, they head out into the famous Strada Bianca, where the eponymous bike race runs. And yeah, riders are going to be sampling about 40, 50 kilometers of Strada Bianca before making their own way south again through the Apennines and towards our next bit of double parkour. So still parkour four, but with a split in between. The next bit is in the southern Apennines, starting in Abruzzo. at Control Point 4, which is in the little mountain town of Pichincho. And from here, riders climb further up onto the Apennine Plateau and through some beautiful sort of highland valleys before we leave them on the Col de Forqueta. And again, they get to make their own way from there, basically all the way to Albania. And I'm not going to say too much about the next bit because there's lots of different options for where riders can go and they can make their own choices there. But I think it's safe to say that most of them are going to be taking a ferry across the Adriatic Sea.
The TCR has historically not allowed many ferry crossings for the obvious reason that it isn't cycling. So the inclusion this year of the Adriatic is certainly enticing. With a few different options available and ferry timetables being what they are, this moment in the race could be really exciting for dot watchers. Will someone get caught while waiting for the next ferry, or will someone else find a clever advantage? Will the time spent on the boat be an opportunity for rest, or will it level out the field when competitors leave together from the same crossing? As Andrew says, we can't give away any hints.
From there, we've got a beautiful bit of parkour in Albania, in the mountains above Kruja, and this stretch of road heads up this really sensational gorge in the foothills of the mountains there, and then leaves riders with a split before they work out their own way to CP5 in Burrell. How they get between the parkour and the control point, who's willing to take on a bit of off-road and some risk, and who wants to play it safe and go around on tarmac. So I think we'll potentially see races won and lost there. They're going to be heading east towards the start of the Finnish parkour, which brings riders in along the Danube to Constanta on the Black Sea coast. And Constanta is an ancient Roman port town. So we're actually finishing in a beach bar. The bar is called Zoom Beach, which is hopefully going to be appropriate for most riders and really gives everyone a chance to grab a pina colada and dip a wheel in the sea. We expect the total race distance to be between 4,500 and 5,000 kilometers. Obviously, it's going to vary depending on whether you choose to take longer, flatter routes or shorter, hillier routes, but somewhere in that 4,500 to 5,000 kilometer mark for the race.
Also on the Last Dot team, Hannah Larblestier.
I'm Hannah. I'm going to be the race coordinator at TCR this year. I've been working with Lost Dot for the last 2.5 years now, and I'll be in one of the control cars during the race, making sure that everything runs smoothly during the race and getting media coverage with our photographer and our podcaster in the car.
As your podcast host, I'm not allowed to show any bias to the riders. However, I'm of course incredibly excited to see this race host the biggest women's field I have ever seen in all my years of bikepacking racing. Here's Hannah explaining the campaign from Lost Dot that attracted women identifying riders to this year's race.
So the 100 TCR Women campaign was something that we've done this year to really inspire, encourage and equip more women and Flinter to get into ultra racing. We've seen growth in women's participation over the last 10 editions of TCR, but it's been really slow and it's been unsteady progress. And last year was the biggest year that we had for women's participation. We had 41 women and Flinter riders on the start line last year, but that's still only 10% of the field size for TCR. And that number had kind of stagnated for a few years, and we'd seen almost that many in the previous few years. And so we make the sport more inclusive to encourage more people to race and to have a race that is reflective of our overall population. And we know that the race isn't reflective of that. It's not that diverse. And so we want to encourage people of all genders, ages, ethnicities to race. And this year, we're really focusing particularly on encouraging more women in Flinter. And so I should probably define what Flinter is first. Flinter is a term that we've been using it's kind of an umbrella term that basically means anyone who's not a cis male. So female, lesbian, intersex, non-binary, trans, or agender individuals.
I asked Hannah how the campaign aims to bring more women into ultra cycling.
there's a lot of barriers to participating in a race like TCR. It's a tough race to take on, and we know that we can only address a few of them. But one of the big barriers that we wanted to address with this was giving more people the confidence to take on the race. And a big part of that is representation and seeing other people like you taking on a race. Because when you see other people like yourself taking on an event or taking something on, it gives you that confidence that you can do it yourself. But on top of that, we wanted to make people feel more equipped to race. So as part of the campaign, we've been putting on a lot of webinars to give people the knowledge that can support them to race. So yeah, we've had loads of support from experienced riders for that. And it's been a really great way to engage with a lot of the women and Flinter riders who are going to be taking it on this year. We've also got a women and Flinter WhatsApp community under the 100 TCR Women banner. So anyone who wants to join that is welcome to. They can email us at tcr@loss.cc and request an invite and we'll send it to them. So in total, we had over 100 applications from women and Flinter riders to take part in the race. We've had a few withdrawals now, and I think our final number is down to 83 riders. So even though that's not the 100 women we set out for, that we aimed for, it's still more than double last year's number. And hopefully just having that amount of women on the race will be a big inspiration for more people signing up next year, or, you know, for taking on maybe a shorter ultra if they're thinking about getting into racing. And finally, this isn't just a one-time campaign. We're going to keep doing it and keep encouraging more women to race in future. And we're going to have some news on registration day for what's happening next year.
And I can't wait to be part of sharing that news with you all soon. In 10 years of TCR races, we've seen many rigs make their way to the start line and mostly to the finish, only following the basic rule set out by Mike Hall, that they be a standard, two-wheeled, upright bicycle. While technology has come along in bicycles and the parkours have become harder, I'm curious what steeds we'll see lined up this year.
I think and I hope we're going to see a real diversity in bike choice this year. It has been tending across the entire bike industry for the last, 10 or more years that people ride wider tires, bigger gear ranges, etc. And I expect that won't be any different this race. But I think we might start seeing more of that in the fastest riders as well, who have tended to stick to more traditional setups with sort of two bys and slightly skinnier tires. A lot of people have learned over the last 5-10 years that the TCR really will challenge a road bike. You're probably not going to get to the finish on a time trial bike. And every year or every couple of years, we see someone trying it and they rarely get that far because it's a very hard thing to do on a TT bike. It's hard to put your body through. It's hard to have the bike handling in control to do some of the off-road parkour. So we're always moving towards more capable bikes, and it will be really interesting to see whether that hits the sort of the front of the pack as well a bit more this year. There's this incredible depth and breadth of sort of skill and knowledge that you need to be successful at one of these races. And TCR has been challenging riders deliberately, even more every year. And I think as the technology within the bike industry has improved over the last 10 years, so our parkour have got harder.
Dot watchers may have noticed that Lost Dot events now celebrate a green leaderboard. Here's more from Andrew.
We introduced the green leaderboards back at TCR number 9, and we did it off the back of a report on our greenhouse gas footprint. And basically, they found that the vast majority of our carbon footprint comes from rider travel to and from the race, and the vast majority of that is air travel. So what we did was bring in a number of things to incentivize low carbon travel, and the green leaderboard is one of those. The Green Leaderboard basically is a classification for riders who travel flight-free to and from the race. And we celebrate the winners, the competitors, the podium in that classification. It's become a prestigious thing to be the Green League Award winner. It's a prestigious classification in its own right, and we hope it's a nice little bit of recognition for those riders who go the extra mile to travel flight-free and minimize their greenhouse gas footprint to and from the race.
And finally, while Andrew can't give away any advantages, here are his own words of wisdom.
I think the number one thing you have to do for TCR is plan your route, plan for contingencies, and make sure you stick to your plan. You've got to be flexible, obviously. You've got to be able to change your plan. But if you make a plan and then in the first 12 hours, you see that everyone has gone off super hard and you think, oh God, you know, to hell with my pre-race plan, I'm going to have to go super deep in this first 36 hours. So for me, it's about knowing what your race feels like, knowing that all those riders who've gone off too hard at the start, you will bring them back. Don't panic. Don't look at the tracking and decide that just because someone at the front went a certain way around a mountain or over a mountain, then that's the right thing for you. You know, trust yourself, trust your planning. And if you've made a good plan and nothing has changed to make you think you shouldn't do it, then stick with it. Don't be a sheep. Don't just do what everyone else is doing, because they often don't know best.
In the days before making their way to Spain for the start line, I caught up with a few of the riders who were taking on this year's race, starting with two of the TCR Bursary riders, which is an initiative to help include riders who may not otherwise have the opportunity to race. Joe Howe and Lise Gardner have two very different background stories with similar results. Here's them in their own words about their road to the TCR.
I'm doing the TCR this year, in 2 weeks' time, in fact, and it is sort of a race that I've always thought about but never thought I'd actually be able to do. I did have some health issues 7 years ago, breast cancer, went through all my treatment and everything. And so fortunate I'm here today to be able to enter something like this. So it's an incredible challenge for me, but I feel like I was challenged a lot 7 years ago. And now I'm so excited about this, but really nervous as well. I'm thinking, gosh, this is a bit insane, but it's going to be absolutely amazing. So I've got one side of me so excited and the other side thinking, gosh, you're lucky to be able to do this.
Yeah, similar. So this year I'm doing the Transcontinental Race, and it's pretty amazing to think that I'm actually fit and able to do that, because about 5 years ago I was in a car accident, which ended me in the coma, having some motor neurofunction sort of malfunctions for a bit, learning to walk and stuff again, which, yeah, wasn't amazing. But to think of how far I've come, and back then I wouldn't have been able to think of, oh, in 5 years I'd be doing the TCR. So it's amazing. I can't wait for it. And yeah, it's just going to be an incredible experience.
Training for the TCR isn't just about cycling. And I've realised that, especially in the last 3 months when I've spent so much time planning, route planning, and just making sure I've got all the equipment I need, it's far harder than just a cycle race, which is hard enough anyway. And it's getting yourself mentally prepared for being able to cycle day in, day out, with all your stuff in the heat. Will this happen? What's going, you know, thinking of every eventuality, and then just being able to adapt. So I think that's the hardest thing for me, is probably trying to get my head around all of that. But I feel that when you're actually starting it, you're just slotting and you've got no choice then, have you?
Yeah, for me, the preparation has been, yeah, pretty intense. So I'm quite a competitive person, and so I've approached TCR in quite a competitive manner. That goes through training and sort of routes, sort of gear optimization, counting the grams of all of my sort of gear to make sure it's optimal, tire choice, aerodynamics, everything. I've got an engineering background, so I'm trying to make it as aerodynamic as possible, make sure the rolling resistance is, yeah, as low as possible, do as many simulations as I can, but there's only so many variables you can account for. And at the end of the day, you're just at the mercy of the race, but it's going to be incredible.
I think for me, I'm concerned about my nutrition and water. So I've bought myself a big bladder to take as well so that I can fill that up on times when we're sort of not going to be around any towns or places I could fill up. And obviously the heat, which will make a big difference for me.
And for me, it's anything that isn't sort of, it's anything that's affecting my body to perform. So I think I've got the legs to sort of do this race, whether it's competitively or whether it's just for a finish. It doesn't really matter. But it's the stuff like the heat. If I get a heat stroke and then I just can't finish because of the heat stroke, or I get two bad saddle sores that I literally can't sit down, that sort of thing is really keeping me up at night. So if those things can stay away, happy days.
For me, I really want to finish this under 3 weeks. That's my sort of goal. And if it can go way under 3 weeks, great. But 3 weeks is around my cutoff that I'd like to. I'd be really happy to do it in that distance because there's a lot of unknown. And, you know, you can plan it on paper to say, I'll do it in X amount of days. But then when you start it, things can change and you've got to adapt.
And for me, what I want to get from TCR is mainly just a finish. And then anything above that is amazing. But I've had sort of a dream to come top 10, whether that's this year or in the future, because I'm also aware there's many variables I can't account for with so little ultra experience. But if everything goes well, maybe that could come through. But I want to try and push myself as much as possible. And if that gets to top 10, top 20, whatever it might be, but I'm at the finish line and I know I've put 100% or close to 100%, happy days. I'm very grateful for this whole experience of giving the money to be able to do this experience, some of the gear. It's absolutely amazing because without the support, there's no chance I would have been able to do it this year. So really grateful for Lost Dot to give this opportunity.
Same for me. I'm so grateful for this opportunity. I'm actually using it as a way to raise some money for breast cancer as well. If anybody thinks they want to sponsor me, that's great, but they don't have to. But it's just a good thing to do on the back of it for me.
Next up, we chat to Vedangi Kulkarni, Cap 243.
I'm Vedangi. I am from India, and I currently live in Inverness, Scotland. I've ridden my bike around the world twice, mostly solo and unsupported. And the first time I did it, I was 19 years old when I started, 20 when I finished, which made me the youngest woman to do it. And I'm excited to race TCR.
For the listeners, I'm chatting to V on a video call, and I can see a collection of bikes behind her, but one notable exception from her fleet.
Yeah, as my background would suggest, actually, no. My background may not suggest, but I don't have a bike to ride for TCR at the moment.
Wait, what?
We have a bit of a drama going on. But I'm packed. I'm leaving at 5 a.m. tomorrow.
Something to know about V is that riding across the continent of Europe is something she's already done twice. And then she kept going and successfully rode around the world twice.
In my head, I'm like, well, 29,000 kilometers and then there's 5,000 kilometers. It's like multiple months of suffering versus a condensed 15 days of it. Cool, that'll do. I can sign up for this. I think it's going to be great because it's like that. But at the same time, I tend to compare myself to others a lot. And that's not going to be good for my mental health. I already know that. So I'm already going to put things in place for that because I know for a fact that I do tend to sort of be like, oh no, like I should be quicker, I should be faster, and I should be stronger, and I expect a lot from myself. And at the same time, you know, when you have high expectations but low self-esteem, sometimes those two things shouldn't go along very well because, like, you're an ambitious person who thinks very less of themselves, and then that's just a bad combination. So in my head, it's like I am questioning myself, but at the same time, I'm like, ride your bike. Keep going forward, you'll get somewhere, you know. We've had worse things happen and we've done worse things and we've gotten a lot of trouble and still managed to keep going enough times to know that it should be okay this time. Whether or not that's actually true, we will find out on the day. But until then, you know, you kind of to think that.
While most riders can enjoy visa-free travel across Europe, crossing multiple countries in a day without a second thought, there are other riders for whom European visas are another item on the checklist and a potential delay during the race.
I have certain things that I know for a fact that are true for me. For example, I have a Schengen visa for the countries which are in Schengen region, but then with the other countries like Albania, Bulgaria and Romania, probably also North Macedonia, I still have to sort of be like, okay, like they say on the website that my Schengen visa is good enough to get through, but I've been returned from borders before. So I know that nothing is permanent, nothing is like fixed. And so that's still like there on the back of my mind.
Badenke is in the solo category at the TCR, but there's also a pairs category, initially introduced to encourage more riders into the sport, but now very much a competitive field in its own right. Pairs respect all the same rules of the race that solo riders do, but of course can help each other, draft, share the weight of equipment, and the weight of problem solving. Next, we hear from Julien Graveau, who is aiming to contest the pairs category this year.
I'm Julien Graveau, cap 298. I'll be riding with my friend Simon, who I've already been taking part in other ultra race before, mostly off-road actually. The riding as a pair is a totally different dynamic as riding solo, of course. I love racing solo. I love riding with a partner. It's just a completely different way to think you're racing, because you're just moving your focus on the other. So the other becomes your everything, and the fact that he's moving forward, the fact that he's healthy, that is safe, that is just not doing that is just doing well. When the person is behind you, you have to make sure that he's able to keep up and that he just has everything he needs to perform and to feel, I mean, to enjoy himself too. So I just love this dynamic. And for normal people like Timo and I that maybe don't have like a way of life that allows us to spend a year on the road, or just maybe we just don't have the engine to perform in the first spots of the races, we found that we were just good at taking care of each other and keeping our pair efficient. And this would allow us to perform at a good level and to run for the top spot of the pair classification. So I'm just looking forward to spending close to 2 weeks on the road with Simon, and just to see what the, what kind of stories the roads has for us in store, really. You're never really ready for this kind of challenge, but what makes you ready also, of course, the experience helps, but also just being ready for anything helps you, and being also confident in the fact that you'll do your best. And then the road itself will decide what kind of experience you're going to have.
Sophie Mangerstetter was motivated by the 100 Women campaign to take on her longest race, but she's no stranger to bikes or high-level racing. Here she is in her own words.
My name is Sophie. I'm from Germany, but I'm living in Austria. And I wish I could say that I'm new, because I think it's easier to say like I'm completely new, but I've done a few races so far. It was my big challenge to do TCR alone now. It will be my biggest race by far, compared to everything else I've done. And when, for me, actually, the solo part is quite a big one, because I'm very comfortable with teams. I have so many good experiences riding in teams. And I think it's a different thing doing it alone, especially when you're going that far. And I've not been to many of those countries, so it will be very exciting. I did some rides in the night alone, and I was surprised because I was not scared. And I thought that, because I'm a quite scared person, and normally I thought it would be something I don't like, but actually I really enjoy riding in the night. It's so magical, I think. So training wise, I mean, I have to say that I'm not going there to win or anything like that. I'm really just going there for myself, and like I want to finish it. I hope I can finish it. I don't know. Like in my head, it's still like 50-50. I mean, so many things can happen. So let's see. I think I'm prepared. I know by now that I can do things that I think I can't do, which I've proven to myself. And it's such a big thing. So I hope I'm fit enough and ready. route planning is a really one that stresses me the most. I think I'm more stressed about the route planning than my training. Maybe a fun backstory. I went to an event with Leigh Wilcox where she presented her film. And then we were also talking about the TSCR and I'm not racing it. Of course, she's racing it. But then she signed the post and she wrote on it, "Sophie, good luck for TCR. Always take the scenic route." And this is in my flat. So whenever I walk into my flat, I see that. And I'm trying. I mean, I want to really enjoy it and see something of the countries. With the TCR 100 Women, I think it was such a good campaign and I wouldn't be here without it. So for me, it was really a big motivation. Jana is living not too far. So I met her and she took so much time going on the phone with me, chatting about TCR, motivating me. So I think that's a big part of why I'm doing the race now. So I'm really happy that you all put the work in to push women to be on the start line.
Riders will be porting a range of equipment strategies, from the ultralight, only planning to sleep in hotels and not get any mechanicals or cold weather, to the heavy set, ready for anything. Some riders bring mascots or talismans, and others cut their toothbrush in half or don't bring one at all. I wanted to know what our riders were excited about bringing.
We got some lovely gifts from the race sponsors, which were amazing, especially Albion. But for me, I mean, it's pretty boring, but just tubeless tires, not having to stop so often for punches and coupled with an electric pump, save you a lot of time on the road or energy on the road, trying to pump up with a tiny little bump. So that would probably be mine.
I think for me, I've researched a lot of the bib shorts and we've had some, as we've said, about given to us, which have been absolutely fantastic from Albion. I've also gone tubeless, which is, obviously a big game changer. I don't want to be changing punches on the way.
For Vidangi, who is still awaiting her bike's arrival at the start line, she at least has kept in her possession a tried and trusted saddle. So if she does end up on a new bike, she's at least got that crucial piece.
Exactly. Yeah. And also that saddle has been around the world twice. So I need to have that saddle with me. It's not well maintained, but it's well used. So it'll do for now.
We will just ride the same outfit. It's been carefully studied. This year, Albion is helping us with our kit. So we'll just have a nice, fresh outfit. Well, only fresh for a few hours, I guess. But yeah, well, we'll have a similar outfit, similar helmet, glasses.
In my last race, I took the disposable camera because I'm really good at breaking stuff. So I don't want to bring a proper camera. But honestly, I only took 5 pictures. But I would really like to challenge myself to bring one and take a picture every day because I love those kind of pictures just to have as a memory. So actually, I think I will bring one of those to have some nice memories and nice pictures, which are not the million phone pictures that you would take. But really, then again, to have moments in the race which are really special and I want to memorize that I take a proper picture.
And finally, I wanted to know what everyone will be listening to for the long days and nights ahead.
Got lots of playlists with a complete range of different tunes. I like a lot of dance music. So it depends on where I'm going. If I'm going up a mountain, I need something to dig deep. I do a lot of cycling classes and they have some great tunes. So I'll be pinching some of those and just depending on my mood of what I want to listen to on each section, really. But yeah, music's great, isn't it? Just keeps you going.
So for me, it depends on my mood and it varies a lot. I like a good audiobook, but I also have a bit of a habit of putting on some piano music on repeat. It makes me zone out and I just sort of forget I'm cycling and yeah, I just teleport places. It's quite good. But then when I want to go up to sort of a big climb, I like my techno and sort of hard style music, which yeah, gets me going.
I am going to be, okay, this is cringy, okay? I'm going to be listening to 80s and 90s music. Very, very, very disco-y vibe.
Well, we will be listening to a little bit of everything. I mean, there's a lot of talking as a pair, really. A lot of talking about when do you want to stop, when do you want to resupply, how long do you want to sleep, what kind of food do you want to eat. So a lot of talking. And then I have some audiobooks, but there's a French radio who made some very big classics with a whole orchestra. And so it's all it's not just a very simple audiobook. It's a very, very deep one with great music. So sometimes it's just this. Sometimes it's just pure music. Sometimes it can be like very like rough, like death metal, or sometimes it can be like very soft, like, I don't know, a Lord of the Rings soundtrack, for example. So yeah, a little bit of everything, because yeah, 2 weeks on the road, we'll need to some variety.
Yes, I have headphones, but I also found out in one of the races when I'm completely alone, sometimes, and it's very hot, it's annoying. So I just put loud music on my phone. I won't bring a box, but yeah, that's like, I listen to music, but I'm, as you said, most of the time, I'm also happy to just hear nature and just enjoy the moment. But I listen to music, and I have a playlist of a friend. She's also doing ultra races, and that's a thing called Party on the Bike in the Night or something like this. And that's the best playlist. I listen to it on repeat already in the other races. So that's the one I will probably listen most to.
Of course, they will also be listening to the Lost Dot podcast. That's it for our pre-race episode of the Transcontinental Race number 11. We'll be back every day with updates from our race reporters, who will be out on the road and in control points, chatting to riders and sharing stories from all ends of the field. Listen to the podcast every day with me during the race, and follow the race report on the website. Thanks to our race partners, Apidura, Albion, Curve, Peak Design, POC, Ride with GPS, and Supernova. Good luck to all our racers.